Reading at verse 1 of chapter 11, and what we hear now is God's Word. The Lord said to Moses, "Yet one plague more I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will drive you away completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people, that they ask every man of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor for silver and gold jewelry." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. So Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been, nor ever will be again. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, 'Get out, you and all the people who follow you.' And after that, I will go out." And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt." Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go out of his land. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, and shall make you your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." And now taking up the reading at verse 21. "Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, this morning we have the great privilege of celebrating once again the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It is a joy for us to come together as the people of God to take and to eat, to participate in this New Testament sacrament God has given to us. But the sacraments, both baptism and the Lord's Supper, are not simply a New Testament phenomena, but they find their roots going back to the Old Testament. Maybe some of you have seen the picture by Da Vinci called The Last Supper. A picture painted supposedly of Jesus with the disciples celebrating the Last Supper. Now, I know that picture is on a wall in Milan, but imagine you had a print of that. And you found a print of that at a garage sale, a print of The Last Supper in a frame. And as you began to look at that print of the Last Supper, you notice that one of the corners was turned up just a bit. And you began to examine that, and you began to pull that corner, and as you pulled the corner of the print away, behind the picture of the Last Supper by Da Vinci, you would find a depiction of the Passover. That's kind of what we're talking about today. The Lord's Supper we see. The Lord's Supper we participate in. But behind the Lord's Supper, giving it some of its significance, our better understanding of it, we have this Old Testament picture. The picture of the first Passover. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We look at this record given to us by Moses in Exodus that we might more properly celebrate today what God is doing in the New Testament Lord's Supper, rooted in the Old Testament Passover. The first thing we have to notice is the Passover in the Old Testament comes in the context of judgment. It comes as a response to the 10th plague. Remember the plagues, children. God's people were in captivity, and God sent Moses to Pharaoh to say, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no, I won't let them go. And so God sent 10 plagues on the people of Egypt. 10 plagues in order that they might drive the Israelites out, that they might be free to go and worship God as they ought. And this is in the context of this 10th plague that we read about that the Passover is established. The 10th plague, which speaks about death. Death of the firstborn. Death of the firstborn of everyone in Egypt. It was a plague that was going to be universal upon the land of Egypt. Now, this plague visited upon Egypt because they refused to acknowledge the authority of God. They refused to acknowledge God's sovereign claim on His people that they should be free. That's why the Egyptians underwent this plague. But notice, Israel too would be put under this judgment. Israel too would have to undergo this plague. There would be a provision where they could be saved, but they would come under the same condemnation as Egypt. Why was that? Because just as Egypt refused to acknowledge God's sovereignty, Israel too refused to acknowledge God's sovereignty. Israel, by this time, had been in captivity for some 400 years. And they in many ways had forgotten the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They had forgotten the Holy God. And they began to worship and serve the gods of Egypt. Remember our study of Joshua. How did Joshua end? In Joshua 24, we read Joshua saying to the people, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Israel, too, found themselves under the just condemnation of God because they had taken over the gods of the Egyptians. Again, in Ezekiel chapter 20, we read this about Israel. Chapter 20, verse 6. "On that day I swore to them that I would bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I searched out for them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most glorious of all lands. And I said to them, 'Cast away the detestable things your eyes feast on, every one of you, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.' But they rebelled against me and were not willing to listen. None of them cast away the detestable things their eyes feasted on, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt." Israel, too, found themselves justly under God's judgment, justly under God's condemnation. That's why the plague is set to take place for all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Not simply all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, meaning the Egyptians, but everyone. Every firstborn, including Israel, in the land of Egypt, found themselves under this judgment. And it was only by God's provision, only by God's instruction, that Israel could be saved from the judgment. There had to be a sacrifice made. There had to be a lamb that was killed. We read in chapter 12, verse 5, that they would choose this lamb. "Your lamb shall be without defect, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or the goats. You shall keep till the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." The lamb had to be chosen. A particular lamb, particular qualifications for this sacrifice to be made, this blood to be shed. It had to be a lamb without defect. They could not take one of the weak, one of the frail, one of the infirmed, but they had to take a lamb without defect, a perfect lamb from the flock to kill, to use the blood for this way of having the Passover not affect them. A perfect lamb without defect. A lamb a year old. It could not be a newborn lamb. It could not be a sheep dying of old age. But a lamb just entering the prime of its productive life. You will choose a lamb. A lamb without defect. A lamb a year old. And as we look at those Old Testament qualifications, we begin to see the beauty of the New Testament sacrament. A sacrament in which we have blood represented for us. The blood not of a lamb, but the blood of Christ, the chosen one. The one who is perfectly selected to provide safety, to provide redemption for His people. A lamb, the Lamb of God, without defect, perfect. Jesus had done nothing wrong. He had perfectly fulfilled all the law, never broken a command. He was perfectly suited as the Lamb for this sacrifice. The Lamb of God entering the prime of His life. Jesus was not the victim of a crib death. He did not die as an infant. He did not die frail and in old age. But as a 30-year-old man entering the prime of his life would be cut short. and taken from him. Even the selection of this Old Testament lamb points forward to the New Testament reality. That reality that we see in front of us this morning. The blood of the Lamb of God, which is poured out for His people. You will choose a lamb, and that lamb will then be killed. The blood of the Lamb was to be shed. Then you shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which they eat it. The blood was to be applied to the household. The blood was shed because God was going to come and bring death upon the people. And yet, rather than killing the firstborn in the household, God would allow a substitute to take place. If the lamb's blood was shed, the firstborn of the household would be spared. God still required blood be shed. God still required a death take place. But He would substitute the lamb's blood for the blood of the firstborn. What a perfect picture of what Christ does for us. God justly requires our death, our condemnation, our blood. But Jesus Christ comes and steps in and offers up His blood instead. His blood shed that we might have life. His life taken away that we might continue. The picture of the Old Testament lamb, that Old Testament Passover, points forward so beautifully to the New Testament celebration of the Lord's Supper. And the wine, the blood of Christ, poured out for His people. That blood was to be shed as a substitute blood and then sprinkled on the doorpost and on the lintel. The blood should be applied to the house. There had to be an application made. And so too with us. Christ's blood is applied to us. Not indiscriminately given, but applied to each and every believer who embraces this Christ, who honors this Christ, who loves this Christ. There is a reception of that blood, a reception of that understanding of what Christ has done. Which is why we require someone to personally apprehend what Christ has done before coming to the Lord's table. There's an application made of the blood. And we by faith embrace Christ, embrace what He has done on our behalf, and we come and we take and we eat. The meat was to be eaten. The lamb not only was to be their substitute blood, applied to the household, but also it was for their strengthening. You will eat the meat of the lamb. What a beautiful picture of the Lord's Supper. It is given to us to strengthen us. Now, not strengthen us physically. The little wafers of bread, the little sip of wine don't do much for me physically, but spiritually. As I, by faith, partake of the body and blood of Christ, who is spiritually present in the sacrament, we are strengthened. We are encouraged. We are strengthened in our faith, knowing what God has done for us. That He has offered the perfect sacrifice, the perfect substitute in our place, on our behalf, that we might live and be strengthened and go forward. God Himself provides that sacrifice. God Himself provides the deliverance that Israel needed. God was the author of the judgment. He would come and justly place the plague upon the people. God is also the author of the deliverance, graciously providing a means of escape, graciously providing a means whereby the angel of death would pass over and not take away the life. And God is the author of both. It is not as if Israel
invented their own way of getting past the angel of death. But God graciously gave a means of deliverance. And they were to be reminded that God would deliver them. God would not take them away in judgment. Verse 13 of chapter 12. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, and no plague will befall or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The blood will be a reminder. A reminder to the people that God would not strike them down. The blood was a symbol, was a picture given for their benefit, so they might know God would pass over. This morning we have the bread and the wine, signs and seals of the body and blood of Christ. They are pictures given for our benefit. God won't forget that He has redeemed us. God won't forget that He has taken away our sins. God won't forget the substitute made. But this morning we are reminded, visibly reminded once again, that the body of Christ was taken away that I might live, that the blood of Christ was poured out that I might live. We are reminded. Remember and believe the body, the blood given for complete remission of all our sins. God uses this reminder this morning, this visible picture of the deliverance that He has accomplished on our behalf. We look behind the elements. We look behind the bread and the wine. And we see the beauty of God's way with His people. The beauty of that first Passover, when God, rather than coming in just judgment, provided the means of deliverance. And today, as we partake in faith, we are reminded that we do stand under God's just judgment. But He has provided a Lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. That truth applied to our hearts, applied to our lives, that we might take and eat and remember. We have been forgiven. The blood has been shed. And we are the recipients of new life. May God grant that we receive that blessing today as we come to His holy table. Let's join together in prayer.